Kunjabi Hari Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana 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 Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yamuna Tiravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Hari Krishna Hari Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Paripajakacharya Sutara Sata Sisimath His Divine Grace Aisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindaki Nama Charya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prensi Gohosi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sri Vasadi Gora Bhakta Vrindaki Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhanki Ganga Maiki Jamuna Maiki Tulasi Devi Maharani Ki Gaura Premanandi. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Shishi Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 28, text 17. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text number 17. Please repeat after me. So nuvista bhagavata jasete salilasaye loka samstam jata purvam nirmame samstaya swaya So nuvisto bhagavata yasete salilasaye loka samstam jata purvam nirmame samstaya swaya Please chant. So nuvisto bhagavata Kyasiti salilasaye. Loka samstam yata purvam. Nirmame samstaya swayam. Sanuvisto bhagavatam. Yasite salilasaye. Loka samstam yata purvam. Nirmame samstaya swaya. Anybody else? Sanuvisto bhagavatam. Yasite salilasaye. Loka samstam yata purvam. Nirmame samstaya swaya. Sanuvisto bhagavatam. Yasite salilasaye. Loka samstam yata purvam. Nirmame samstaya swaya. Sanuvisto bhagavatam. Yasite salilasaye. Loka samstam yata purvam. Nirmame samstaya swaya. Sanuvisto bhagavatam. Sasite salilasaye. Loka samstam yata purvam. Nirmame samstaya swaya. Okay. Anybody else? Word by word translation. Repeat after me. Saha, Lord Brahma, Anuvistaha, was entered, Bhagavata, by the Lord, Yaha, who, Sete, sleeps, Salilasaye, on the Garbhodaka ocean, Loka, Samstam, the universe, Yata Purvam, as previously, Nirmame, created, Samstaya, by intelligence, Swaya, his own. Translation by His Divine Grace, Issi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is lying on the Garbhodaka ocean, entered the heart of Brahma, Brahma brought his intelligence to bear, and with the intelligence invoked, he began to create the universe as it was before. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. At a certain time, the Personality of Godhead, Karanadakasai Vishnu, lies in the Karana ocean and produces many thousands of universes from his breathing. Then he enters again into each and every universe as Garbhodakasai Vishnu and fills up half of each universe with his own perspiration. The other half of the universe remains vacant, and that vacant region is called outer space. Then the lotus flower sprouts from his abdomen and produces the first living creature, Brahma. Then again, as Shirodakashayi Vishnu, the Lord enters into the heart of every living entity, including Brahma. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter. The Lord says, I am seated in everyone's heart, and by me are remembrance and forgetfulness made possible. As the witness of the activities of the individual entities, the Lord gives each one remembrance and intelligence to act according to his desire at the time he was annihilated in his last birth in the last millennium. This intelligence is invoked according to one's own capacity or by the law of karma. Brahma was the first living entity, and he was empowered by the Supreme Lord to act in charge of the mode of passion. Therefore, he was given the required intelligence, which is so powerful and extensive that he is almost independent of the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as a highly posted manager is almost as independent as the owner of a firm. Brahma is described here as independent because, as the Lord's representative to control the universe, he's almost as powerful and independent as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord, as the Supersoul within Brahma, gave him the intelligence to create. The creative power, therefore, of every living entity is not his own. It is by the grace of the Lord that one can create. There are many scientists and great workers in the material world who have wonderful creative force, but they act and create only according to the direction of the Supreme Lord. A scientist may create many wonderful inventions by the direction of the Lord, but it is not possible for him to overcome the stringent laws of material nature by his intelligence. Nor is it possible to acquire such intelligence from the Lord, for the Lord's supremacy would then be hampered. It is stated in this verse that Brahma created the universe as it was before. This means that he created everything by the same name and form as in the previous cosmic manifestation. Translation again, when that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is lying on the Garbhodaka ocean, entered the heart of Brahma, Brahma brought his intelligence to bear, and with the intelligence invoked, he began to create the universe as it was before. Om Ajnana Temirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I offer my humble and respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has forced to open my eyes with torch-like knowledge. I offer my humble, respectful obeisances unto Him. Well, this chapter 20 of the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is a kind of very interesting, but very complicated in one sense, because it is describing the actual creation, the forces of creation, and how the world appears and why we are here. And so it is not... It's kind of complicated, and we'll try to do the best we can to say a few words. I have a note here that says that the class sets at 8:45 and it's 8:15, so I only have 30 minutes to explain this text, and it's not an easy thing to do. So I'll just say whatever I can say. One devotee once told me, well, if you cannot say whatever, you know, when I first started giving classes in New Vrindavan, they said, I said, well, you know, there isn't much time here. He said, well, if you cannot say whatever you have to say in 30 minutes, then that's all there is, you know, whatever you can come up with. So I have been meditating on this verse once it was given to me by Gaurangi Mataji a couple of weeks ago, and I've been thinking about it. So I had a lot of things to say, but I'm going to have to reduce the information, otherwise maybe too much. So let's just start, first of all, with the purport here that Prabhupada is saying that just this would take us many lifetimes just to discuss this. I said, at a certain time, the personality of Godhead, Karanodaka Sai Vishnu, lies in the Karana ocean and produces many thousands of universes from his breathing. That's just like the first sentence. Now, let's look at that carefully. Karanodaka Sai Vishnu, is actually a manifestation of Krishna. Again, there would be people in the audience that would, and I have had many discussions with Brahma bodies and all kinds of people that they think that Krishna is an incarnation of Vishnu. But I can only explain so many things. You have to have a lot of prasadam and enjoy kirtan for a while before you can really understand that, wait a second, where does this all come from? Karanoda Kasai Vishnu is also his other name, or what most people know him as, is Mahavishnu. So Mahavishnu and Karanoda Kasai Vishnu are two different names for the same person, for the same personality of Vishnu. And that's a very great, great, fantastic incarnation if you think about Vishnu as the one from where all the creation comes from, actually, the whole material creation. This is very amazing. And now what happens is that from his body, many thousands of universes, lies in the Karana Ocean, and he produces many thousands of universes from his breathing. Thousands of universes. Think about that. We just live in one universe. And this universe that we live here, we live in a little planet, although it's a very large planet, but it still is very small compared to other planets that are much bigger than this planet. And this is just one universe. And there are many thousands of universes. Let's put things in perspective. There is this story that I read once from in a book by Sadaputta Prabhu, who was one of the founders of the Bhaktivedanta Institute with the direction of Srila Prabhupada. And he wrote a book called Cosmology and Vedic Astronomy. And if you read that book, it's a very interesting book. And there is a story in that book where it tells the story of Lord Brahma going to see Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha. And he arrives at the gate and he tells the guards, please tell Lord Vishnu that Lord Brahma is here. And the guard says, which Brahma? He says, what do you mean, which Brahma? I am Lord Brahma. The Lord Brahma with four heads? This is me. I'm Lord Brahma. Please tell Lord Vishnu that I am here. He said, well, I'll tell him, but, let's see what he says. So Lord Vishnu comes and says, oh, Lord Brahma is here. And he said, well, your guard said, which Lord Brahma? What does he mean by that? And Lord Vishnu says, okay, let me show you. So Lord Vishnu called all the Brahmas from all the thousands of universes that exist. And some of them had 10 heads, some had 100 heads, some had 1,000 heads. Many Brahmas came. But only the Lord Brahma with four heads was able to see this. All the other Brahmas were not aware that they had all been summoned by Lord Krishna. So when they came, they all offered obeisances, and with their helmets, they touched the floor, and they created a very tumultuous sound that reverberated through all the universes. But the Lord Brahma, who could see all of this, he realized that he was actually insignificant. So maybe Lord Brahma, as the end of the purport says, he has the power to act on behalf of Lord Vishnu to create the universe according to the directions given by Vishnu. But still, he is under the control of Vishnu. He looks like he's independent, but not quite. It's like almost independent, like Prabhupada is saying in the purport, almost independent, but not really. So the fact is that Mahavishnu, lying in the Karana Ocean, produces many thousands of universes from his breathing. Then he enters again into each and every universe as Garbhodakasai Vishnu. So now why all this happened, let's just see if we can summarize this so that we understand what we are talking about here, because it gets more complicated. So we are reading, this chapter is titled The Conversations Between Maitreya and Vidura. So last week, there was a presentation of this discussion, this conversation between Maitreya and Vidura. And then Vidura, in a very respectful mood, he asked Maitreya, Sri Maitreya, the guru, as, please enlighten me. You know, how, basically, as the similar questions that most people ask once you become a devotee, or once you want to know more, who am I? Why am I here? Where am I? What is this? Right? So he started asking these questions. And then Maitreya said, this is text 12, just five texts before text 17, but I do have to come back to this so that we understand the logic. So Maitreya said, when the equilibrium of the combination of the three modes of nature was agitated by the unseen activity of the living entity, by Mahavishnu, and by the force of time, the total material elements were produced. So how were the material elements were produced? Why are we here? How was this all created? It is explained right here. Is when the equilibrium of the combination of the three modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, was agitated by the unseen activity of the living entity. What is the unseen activity of the living entity? Srila Prabhupada says here in the purport that is the destiny of the jiva. It says here, it's the destiny of the jiva. And then he continues, there is a nice verse in the Bhagavatam which says that the sum and substance of the conditioned soul's sense enjoyment is that as soon as he forgets his primary duty to render service to the Lord, he creates an atmosphere of sense enjoyment, which is called Maya, that is the cause of material creation. So that is what the unseen activity of the living entity means. It's the destiny. I don't know if you know about this, but there was a rock group back in the, I guess, 70s, 60s or 70s, called Destiny's Child. And I was always intrigued by that name, Destiny's Child. What is the destiny? What is the destiny? Well, the destiny is that as Prabhupada is saying here, that propensity of the conditioned soul to enjoy separate from Krishna, that is why, one of the reasons, actually the main reason why we are here in this material world. So what is that? That's what, I guess, there is no reference. Prabhupada didn't give reference to the verse that he is referring to. He says there is a nice verse which says the sum and substance of the conditioned soul's sense enjoyment is that as soon as he forgets his primary duty to render service to the Lord, he creates an atmosphere of sense enjoyment. I suppose he's referring to the second canto, chapter 9, text 34, which is the second nutshell verse, where he says, O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, it is without relation to me, has no reality, know it as my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. That means that the whole material energy, prakriti, is basically a reflection of a shadow. That's what it is. It's just a reflection of the shadow. And what is the shadow? The shadow is the false ego. What is the false ego? The false ego is that desire to enjoy separate from Krishna. As soon as you, as the verse just said, as soon as you try to desire or to enjoy separate from Krishna, then you fall under the clutches, so to speak, under the influence of the illusory energy, which is Maya. Now, we got to be very careful here, very careful how we discuss these things and what we think about it, because the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord is very powerful, very powerful. Never underestimate Maya. Oh, I'm just, oh, yeah, I chanted my rounds. I'm good. I'm good for today, yeah. I can do whatever I want. Nah. Oh, yeah, Maya. Oh, who cares? Well, I'll fall into Maya a little bit, and I'll come back. I'll chant my rounds tomorrow. I don't have to continue being Krishna conscious. Yeah, it's okay. I'll just enjoy myself a little bit. No, Maya is very, very tricky. Very tricky. It's a reflection of a shadow. What is that? That's a movie. It's a film. And all movies create an hypnosis. And that's what Maya does, creates an hypnosis. You think that you are in control of things. Why? Because you identify with Prakriti, you identify with the material world, this wondrous, beautiful creation of the Supreme Lord, Prakriti. It's actually very beautiful. And then you identify also with the character that is in that movie. You think, oh, I am that person. Yeah, I am white, or I am black, or I am Chinese, and I am American. Oh, yes, I'm American now, and I have all this money, and now I can do this, and I can do that. And you identify with this character, this persona. So these two identifications, they kind of take you into that movie, into that film, which is the material life that we are experiencing. Very, very dangerous, because it is a temporary reality. Is it a reality? Yes, but it's temporary. It's going to be here for a short time, and then it's going to disappear. So our life in the material world, it is subject to this birth age, old age, disease, and death. And nobody can avoid that. So therefore, we should try to overcome it. We should try to get out of the material world, basically. That is the teaching. So, how this all comes about, for the sake of time, I'll just move quickly into the point that I'm trying to make. It says here that the next verse, which was verse number 13, I think that it was read by Mother Akuti on Monday, very, very interesting verse, says, as impelled by the destiny of the jiva, the false ego, which is of three kinds, evolved from the mahatattva, in which the element of rajas predominates, from the ego, in turn, evolved many groups of five principles. Now, this idea of five principles is very, very important. Prabhupada elaborates in the purport of this text number 13, where there are five principles or five groups. In the purport, Prabhupada says, the primordial matter or prakriti, material nature, consisting of three modes, generates three modes, right? Goodness, passion, and ignorance, generates four groups of five, but then Prabhupada elaborates saying that, but some people say that there are five groups of five. What are these five groups of five that are the cause, the creation of prakriti? So basically, Prabhupada elaborates in the purport saying that the first group is called the elementary group and consists of earth, water, fire, air, and ether. The second group of five is tanmatra, referring to the subtle elements, sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. The third group is the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and skin, which is the organ for acquiring knowledge. And then there is the, in other words, there are five different groups. Then there is the group of the deities that control all of these senses. So that's how prakriti generates. And then, so once this all, once the jiva wants to come and enjoy separately from Krishna, he's put into this mahatattva, this place where all the jivas are put together, and they are going to come out into this creation that Mahavishnu has arranged for everyone in order to express themselves, express their desires, to leave that illusion, because it's like a movie, it has to be produced, and someone has to produce this. So this has all been produced by Vishnu in one sense. Okay, you want to enjoy? Sure, here, we are going to create this story, and you are part of this story, and so you are part of the story. And so Vishnu, because the jiva himself, we cannot create material nature, we cannot create parakriti, we cannot create all of these things. Someone superior to us, that Vishnu, is the one who creates everything that exists over here. So that's prakriti, that's material nature. And also, there is another ingredient which we cannot discuss now for the sake of time, which is time. The time factor actually contributes to the development of the prakriti and our own illusion and our own desire for sense gratification, and how that is going to be satisfied. And that is what the Maya does, and that is part of the Maya. So the one thing that I can tell you without deviating too much is that we do, Srila Prabhupada has given us, this is the most amazing thing, that he has given us the key or the information on how to actually overcome the Maya and the illusory energy. How did he do that? What is the some of the main teachings that come from two teachers mainly, Prahlad Maharaj, and that I know, there may be others, but what I know from listening to other gurus and great devotees. Basically, one was the teachings from Prahlad Maharaj when he said the prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev, said, well, Lord Nrisimhadev, I am not afraid of your mane, I'm not afraid of your terrific form, but I'm very much afraid of your illusory energy. Please protect me from it. And then the other one was when Srila Prabhupada was in Los Angeles, I heard from another devotee, and he was for a long time in front of the deities and prayer. And then after a while, I think it was his secretary, Tamal Krishna Goswami, asked him, Srila Prabhupada, you were praying so intensely in front of the deities. What were you thinking? What were you meditating on? And Prabhupada said, I was praying to the deities that he would save me from his illusory energy. Okay, if Prabhupada is actually praying to Krishna in a very thoughtful way, please save me from your illusory energy, we really don't have a chance. But we can follow in his footsteps and say, please, Krishna, you know, this is just a little too intense. Why don't you just help me? Don't send me your illusory energy. I know that you are meaning well by trying to help me to enjoy my senses, but I don't really need this, you know. I don't really need it because I know that my body is temporary. I'm not going to be here for too long. I really don't need it. I actually, there is more enjoyment on the other side. Now we know that there is more enjoyment on the other side of the equation. And so to live in the material world is really not going to give you any more pleasure than being on the other side with Krishna, because that's where the real pleasure is, because he's the reservoir of all pleasure. So why do you want to be here? It just doesn't make sense. Okay, if you don't believe me, you don't have to believe me what I'm saying, but the next time you go to the dentist, remember these words, okay? You realize that you go to a dentist, you're going to have some pain, just a little pain, not very much, just a little bit, and then you'll realize that, oh, wait a second, this is not such a nice place after all. And I'm just talking about a simple dental procedure. Wait until you have other procedures coming to you, okay? Hope you have... you are prepared for that. But anyway, I wanted to continue with this purport of text 17 because we really didn't get very far. So the next thing I wanted to talk about this position of the Vishnu Tattva, which includes Karanodakashai Vishnu, Garbhodakashai Vishnu, and then Shirodakashai Vishnu. So recently, I was invited by Brahmatirtha Prabhu from the Bhaktivedanta Institute to play some music at an event. I met him here at the Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day. We were having lunch and he said, why don't you come to the Institute and play flute for the program when people arrive and for the speaker. We have invited Vasudas Narayanan, a very great scholar of the Angkor Wat Temple, and say, Angkor Wat, oh yeah. Mother Mukhi recently went to the Angkor Wat, and I've studied a little bit about it, and I've seen some of the pictures and photos of the Angkor Wat Temple. And so I said, okay, that's interesting, I'll go there. And so I was thinking about what to play. I only had 2 or 3 days to think about it. I thought, well, I'll just play some Indian music, that will probably be fine, classical ragas. So I was going to practice classical Indian music, and then an intuition came that said, play the Pakaval Canon. I said, the Pakaval Canon for an Indian program about the Angkor Wat? I don't know about that. And the voice in my heart said, no, practice the Pakaval Canon. I said, Pakaval Canon, but then I need a harp, I need chords. You know, the Pakaval Canon is like, like late Baroque music, European music, what does that have to do with the Angkor Wat temple? I said, well, I don't know, but the voice says that I'm supposed to play the packable canon. So I called my wife, who is in Hawaii right now. I said, you know, I'm supposed to play the packable canon on Thursday, and you are not here. Can you invite our students? We have two students that play harp, study harp and flute. I said, well, bring them. We can play the packable canon. That's what I'm supposed to play. She said, okay. So my wife arranged for the students to come and play with me at the Bhaktivedanta Institute, the packable canon. So we are playing the packable canon. La, da, you know, like that. And then Vasudev Narayanan, the presenter, comes in through the door and immediately starts looking around, and we kept playing. And then she sits down and kept listening. I don't know, something was strange. I couldn't figure out what was going on with her, but she was like in a, like she was not there. And I thought, I don't know if this is probably what she was expecting or not. So we finished playing the canon, and I go to Mataji and said, Mataji, is it okay? Is it all right? We continue playing? You want to check your microphone? You want to do something? Seems like you are here a little bit thinking about things. And she said, no, keep playing the packable canon, please. I said, really? She said, yeah. Please keep playing the canon, because I played the canon every day when I was doing for my presentation, and I've played it for years, because I believe that the packable canon is the perfect music that goes with the Angkor Wat. And I said, really? She said, yeah, yeah. I said, well, how come you're here like this? She said, well, I just freaked out because I walked out through the door and you were playing the packable canon. So I said, please play it again, and I'm going to record it. So he actually, I went back. We started playing more packable canon for Vasudeva Narayanan. And she was recording. I said, well, I can give you a better, probably better recording of this, because there were people coming in and so on. But then I thought, after her presentation, and during the presentation, I started getting ideas why the packable canon was such an important part of music. It's because the Angkor Wat is actually, I would say, a replica of this chapter 20 of the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The way she was explaining, first of all, is the perhaps the only temple that is dedicated to Mahavishnu and the incarnations of Vishnu in the world, and is the largest temple ever built in the world, and was built by a king named Surya, is one of the names of the sun god. And then she was explaining how it is all about the creation of the universe, and is based on these five principles that we were discussing, the five groups of five. So she was saying that these five groups of five, there is reference to the number five everywhere through the Angkor Wat temple. There is five towers that are the main towers of the temple. That, like, when they represent the Anantashesha, they represent with five hoods, you know. So the number five is all predominant through the Angkor Wat temple. And I thought about that when she was talking. I said, yeah, of course, that's why the packable canon goes with it, because the packable canon is based on the circle of fifths. That's the way it is played. That's why I need to have a chordal change in order to play the melody, because you need that circle of fifths, which is the chordal change, and is based on the number five. And we were just talking about how important it is for the creation, that number five, and how the number five is so connected to Vishnu. Now, if you think about this, I thought, well, that's synchronicity. That's great synchronicity. But then, who creates synchronicity? Who is creating everything? Who is directing? Why did I have this idea that I was supposed to play the packable canon? I had no idea at the time. I just had this intuition. Where does the intuition come from? Well, isn't there someone named here, Shirodakashai Vishnu, that enters into the heart of every living entity, including Brahma? So maybe we can say, well, what proof do you have that there is a Shirodakashai Vishnu? Well, I don't know, but the experience that I had is a synchronicity that tells me that there is someone other than myself here inside telling me things that I have to pay more attention to. And then Prabhupada continues in the Bhagavad Gita 15th chapter, he says, I am seated in everyone's heart, and by me are remembrance and forgetfulness made possible. So that's where this all comes from. But then I thought far deeper and said, well, wait a second. The circle of faiths. And all of these years, people keep asking me, Mahesh, why does Krishna play this the fifth note? What does the fifth note have to do with Krishna? Why is that the favorite note? Well, because if you think about it, it's do, re, mi, fa, sol. Sol is the fifth note. And what is sol? Sol is the sun. Sa, re, ga, ma, pa. Pa, the fifth note. The sol, the fifth note is very bright. When you play it correctly, it just has this bright tone. It's like the yellow sun. Very beautiful. And Krishna plays that tone because that pa is the vadi of many ragas during the day. When Krishna is playing in the forest, like Vrindavani Sarang, Raga Desh, Raga Mek, Raga Madhuvanti, you know, all these afternoon ragas, Raga Alaya Bilawal, the one that plays in the morning when he goes out to the fields with the cowherd boys and the gopas, and his mother Yashoda comes and wakes him up. Hey, come on, Krishna, it's time to get up. You have to go to take care of the cows. So that's Alaya Bilawal. And then when he comes back from the forest with the cowherd boys, that's Raga Bhupali. Also, Sarega Pa Da Sa Sa Da Pa Pa. So the pa is very important. It's the fifth note. It's the sun. So my time is up. It's almost 8:45, but I'll tell you just a couple more things just to give some ideas to what happened here. And I wish I had more time to explain these things. But so the fifth note is very, very beautiful. And it's ruled basically by Krishna Balaram over there. Krishna, in his form of Krishna Balaram, in that deity form, he's playing in the forest. He's having a great time. He's playing on his flute. When it's too hot, then he plays Vrindavani Sarang and cools down the atmosphere. Literally, you can literally cool down the atmosphere if it's too hot, like on a summer day. You play that Vrindavani Sarang and you think of Krishna and you play it properly. You can feel, oh, it's a little cooler now. But when Krishna plays, it really cools it down. It's like air conditioned. And just all the cowherd boys, they are playing with him, and it's so hot. They all feel so great, and they are listening to Krishna playing that Vrindavani Sarang, which is the fifth note, the fifth note. And it's referring to this great power of Vishnu, of the creation. But you know what? And I'm sorry, I'm going to have to leave you here. I'll leave you hanging on with this idea. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he changed everything. He really did. And why? According to the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, of course, but Srila Prabhupada didn't really make things up. He was very amazing. He was really extraordinary person because he was able to synthesize the teachings from his sampradaya, from his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Maharaj, who was very amazing devotee as well himself, and ultimately from Jiva Goswami, who was the one who synthesized the teachings from Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and ultimately from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So he was able to synthesize, and he turned the whole world around because he said, well, you know what? The most important relationship with God is Madhurya Ras. And when does Madhurya Ras happen? Who has this Madhurya Ras? The gopis. And when do they meet with Krishna? Oh, well, it happens that they meet under the full moon in Vrindavan. Oh, so who is the ruler of, who is the planet that rules that the night? The full moon. Oh, so the full moon, the divine feminine, is actually the superior relationship, the superior energy that you can have with Krishna. And so Prabhupada, who knew, he knew the Vedas. Not only that, he knew the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he knew everything. Because at one point I thought that I needed to study Jiva Goswami, you know, the Sandarbhas, and I was going to study, and I started reading the Sandarbhas, and well, the Sandarbhas, but this is what Prabhupada is saying. I don't really need to read this. I really need to read Srila Prabhupada and understand Srila Prabhupada's books. If I can read all the books of Srila Prabhupada in this lifetime and understand them, I'll be happy. That's all I need to do. I don't really need to go into all these literatures. That's for great scholars. Actually, in our movement, we have very great scholars that study the Sandarvas and study all these literatures. They have the time to do that. But I don't have much time to do these things because I got to play the flute and other things. So I'll be happy if I can read Srila Prabhupada's books. But when Prabhupada came, and I'll finish with this, came to America, he brought really the highest. He brought the highest. Unfortunately, most devotees in the beginning, well, not unfortunately, that's the way it is. You know, the devotees that joined Srila Prabhupada in the early part or the early stages of the movement, they were like kids, they were children, they were very young. They really didn't understand much. This was a foreign culture that came to them, but they realized that the current culture was not the culture that they were supposed to follow, which was leading them to the Vietnam War and all of these wars, and they didn't want that. And they realized that this gentleman from India, he had something to say. So they were listening. But of course, this is very deep. This is very, very deep. So Prabhupada came, and among other things, and all the things that he did, he wanted to establish Vrindavan in the West. So that's why Krishna arranged for a location called that he named New Vrindavan. So New Vrindavan was the place that Srila Prabhupada wanted to develop, to because Prabhupada thought that Krishna consciousness was for everybody, the whole world. It's not just for the Indians in India, but it's for everybody. White, black, Chinese, anybody can become Krishna conscious. That's what he wanted to do. So, and I'll finish with this, that so Srila Prabhupada actually started New Vrindavan in the West, and who are the deities that were installed there under his supervision? Radha, Vrindavan, Chandra. Well, if you think about that, these names of Vrindavan, Chandra, that's very powerful. What does that mean, Vrindavan, Chandra? Mean is the Lord of the moon of Vrindavan. So basically saying that this is the highest spiritual relationship you can have with Krishna. The highest relationship is exemplified by the gopis in Vrindavan. That's what he's saying. So, big temple was built there, that is there now in New Vrindavan. But that was originally built as a temporary temple. It was not the final temple. But there were back then, a lot of very, very powerful, great devotees that were working together to establish this temple of Shri Radha Vrindavan Chandra. But Prabhupada originally, his original idea was, besides the Shri Radha Vrindavan Chandra temple, there were supposed to be 7 temples in 7 hills, he said. But at least 3 they need to be built, and it's a matter of time before these temples are built. You know, like in Vrindavan, there are 3 main temples, the Govindaji temple, the Madan Mohan temple, and the Gopijana Vallabha temple. So we'll stop right here because we are past our time. But if you have any questions, we can answer. Sorry I gave you so much information here, and we practically didn't even get to the end of the purport. But anybody has any? Yeah. Speak loudly. Yeah, it's good. You can hear.
I found it interesting in Srila Prabhupada's purport, how he says that Krishna gives one intelligence or remembrance also based on his desires. And
yes.
Based on desires from the previous millennium.
Yes, it says right here that this means that he created everything by the same name and form as the previous cosmic manifestation. He also is saying that
when it says according to his desire at the time he was annihilated.
At the time of annihilation, that's
so
right.
So what that tells me is that I am contributing to the cause of this miserable place, right? This repeated birth and death, right? That I'm contributing to that based on my desires. That's why the material world exists, because I have specific desires.
Right.
That I keep carrying over.
That's right.
So if I can purify those desires.
Right.
And then each of us work on purifying those desires, so this can all be wrapped up.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay, well, there is a formula. There is a formula. That's what Prabhupada brought, was the formula on how to change our desires from material to spiritual desire. And that formula starts, number one, by, according to Srila Prabhupada, maybe other gurus may have other ideas, but Prabhupada, I mean, we only know what Prabhupada taught here, which was you need to accept a spiritual master, render service to him, and the spiritual master will impart you the truth because he has seen the truth. So that's number one. You got to find a teacher or a guru that is going to give you this information that we are discussing here. So that's number one. Second, of course, there is five main items that he mentioned in this book called Easy Journey to Other Planets. It's a very little book, but for me, it has been the Bible for a long time, for many years. And so he said that there are five main items in order to change your material desires to Krishna consciousness desires. And number one is the acceptance of a guru or accepting a guru. Then there are other things, association with devotees, number two. Number three is the chanting of the holy names and bhajan, kirtan, reading Bhagavatam, the scripture. Fourth is worshiping the deity. And fifth, living in a holy place or in a place where there is a temple and where there is association with other devotees and so on. So at least those five items, he says, in Easy Journey to Other Planets that will change your consciousness. And once you realize this, then you realize that this is what you need to do, then you can start understanding the teachings from the Shikshastakam prayers. And we had this beautiful seminar the other day with Ghanasham, who was talking about the Shikshastakam prayers. And it starts, how does it start everything? It starts with the Sankirtan movement. The devotees that come, they attract people with their power of chanting the holy names, the beauty of that is brought by prasadam, you know, the Sankirtan movement. So the jiva, the living entity, once is attracted by this Sankirtan movement, that's why everything that is related to the Sankirtan movement is very, very important. Then you realize, well, wait a second, yeah, there is a God, and I'm a jiva, and then you start getting these realizations. And then the number two is, as Ganesham Prabhu was saying, is that there has to be some kind of repentance from all these activities, all these false desires that you have. You have to repent from them. It's not like, oh yeah, well, I'll just go on and I'll keep playing this music or playing a drum and I'll just go back to Godhead somehow. No. Nanman akarit bahutani yasarva shakti. So you have to like, this is, how am I going to get there? How am I going to get to the point where I am in love or that I feel or experience love of Godhead? How am I going to get there? Well, you got to start by repenting from this desire that you have to enjoy separately from Krishna. And once you repent from that desire, then there is the prayer that is, oh, so please, my dear Lord, accept me as your devotee. In other words, there are three phases of prayer. Also, I think Ram Govinda, in one of the classes he gave a couple months ago, he was saying the same thing, that the three aspects of a prayer. One is you realize that you are jiva and that there is a God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The second is that you repent for being separate from him. And how come you have been here for so many lifetimes? You know, it's like you wake up, you realize, well, I don't have to be here. Actually, there is not much pleasure in this planet anyway, or any planet. I want to be with Krishna. That's where the real pleasure is. I mean, most of you may have heard me playing the flute, say, wow, that's very nice. Well, wait until you hear Krishna playing. It's amazing. It really, I mean, when he plays on that flute, he's creating universes. His notes are like gold melted gold. It's like your ears will just expand, like, oh my God, I can't stop at listening to this flute playing. It's so unbelievable. So we want to be there. We want to be in that concert. He's playing a concert every day with the Cowherd Boys. So who want to be here and listen to Mahesh playing? That's not, no, you just want to be with Krishna. Yes, we elevate ourselves from Om Bhur Bhuva Svatat Savitur. Yes, that's right. It is, I believe, it was part of one of the purports that was mentioned earlier as well. Again, I didn't have the time to get there, but yes, we elevate ourselves by the Gayatri Mantra. And of course, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mantra. Of course, that's very, very important. The Sankirtan, as we said, the Sankirtan movement. Any other questions?
One quick question for Ruth. Really nice class. Thank you so much. You were telling the story of when you went to the BI and you listened to, like, Super Soul. You heard this message. You had faith in it. You listened to it, and it proved to show you, like, exactly why it was so important. So you are very elevated in practice. For those of us who struggle with knowing whether the voice we think we hear is either Maya or Krishna,
yes,
how do we, because in that moment, it's hard to see, it's hard to know. So how do, like, is it just...
Yeah, I understand, yes, I understand. So the thing is that, well, there are three principles. One is that the voice of the Super Soul or Paramatma, but then there is also the association with devotees. So if you have a question or you have a thought and you think, well, this comes from Krishna or this comes from Srila Prabhupada, maybe it does, but it could be some, as you are saying, maybe it's a voice from somewhere else. So how do you know? So it's good to, in the association with devotees, you ask questions. And or you can ask them, or you can get counsel from other devotees. And number three, actually, would be, and that's why it's very important to have a spiritual master that is present. And Prabhupada mentioned that many, many times. He did, actually, he said, we can learn from the books, you can learn from listening to tapes and so on, even listening to Prabhupada, for sure, this is the... The knowledge of the information, the knowledge and the information is here, but, and it's true, you can meet with Prabhupada in a rhythmic style system, is correct, but as Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj showed me, that in our Sampradaya, a living guru is very important, someone that you can connect and you can contact, someone that you trust that is going to give you the truth. You know what I'm saying? In other words, if you have an idea, you got to connect or contact other people and ask questions and see if that what they are saying is the same what you have heard. If what you have heard doesn't correspond, if the guru or some very advanced devotee says, oh, Prabhuji, that doesn't sound good. Maybe, you know, this is not a good thing, or, oh, you shouldn't do that because this or that, and they give you reasons why, then you should listen to that. You know what I'm saying? In other words, that in our movement, we have a checks and balances system by which we can see if that what we are doing is correct or not. If it's not correct, then you'll find out real soon, because the Maya works very fast. It's not like, oh yeah, we'll get to Maya next year. No, it's immediately. It's very quick. Jai Hari Om. Okay, any other questions? Pran Govinda, Prabhu, do you have any questions? Hare Krishna. Jai Haribo. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.